Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Does Jimmy know you're sober?
Yeah, well, Jimmy listens every day. Okay, Jimmy listens the time. I think he'd know.
He texted me a few times when
poster
I was
boy for peer pressure.
Going through it all.
This, come on, Rob.
One doesn't
come.
I thought
a zero.
A vodka
hop
would
on the
be
Tito's
refreshing.
Train. Come
That's
on
right.
now.
The lime juice is good for you.
Julie Andrews is 86 and still people.
No, you know what? Not even in the movie SOB.
No, you're right.
Right. And really get right down to it, not even in The Sound of Music.
Okay. Are you familiar with the long drink? The
what
long
is
drink
that?
From
yeah,
I think it's Finnish.
Yes, yes.
It's from
yes,
Finland.
Yes. Oh yeah, we've talked about it. Yeah.
Grapefruit and gin.
Yeah. Mm. When I think of gin and grapefruit juice, I think as an alcoholic diabetic, those are two things I can't have. But
enjoy
all that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
From our home to your home to everybody's home. The Mike O'Mara Show is on right now. Lexington, Kentucky. Valletta, Malta. Stannardsville, Virginia. Vancouver. I don't know why I have trouble with that, but sometimes I do. Vancouver, Canada. Bel Air, Maryland. And a cruise ship out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. Perhaps at port. Perhaps at sea. Perhaps sending shore excursions out. As we speak, oh no, they're probably all tucked in their beds right now, I would assume.
Maybe
right?
An aircraft.
It would be
carrier.
6 hours ahead of us, roughly,
yeah.
Give or take.
So it's
with
nine.
Cruisers, you know?
Well, I think they're probably just starting the party at 9.
Would it be? Yeah, 9. They're back on the cruise ship, though.
Yes,
right?
Of course. They got on the tenders, Mike, and they headed back.
Who sent you a cruise ship in the Mediterranean, and why the lack of specificity? I'd love to know the line, the ports.
The
you know, the destinations.
Call. I don't have his name handy, but I can have it for you for tomorrow's show.
That's exciting. We will have a talking head, looks like an Italian name to me. Mario Sabrino will join us a little bit later on in this segment. But for starters, we need to address a few things that are top of mind. And the very first one, I normally don't get on and gush about every single celebrity death that we get, but there was a broadcaster that was near and dear to me and my dad. His name was Vin Scully. If you didn't know that, he was the Dodgers play-by-play announcer for 60-plus years, and he was one of the greats, one of the all-time greats, a primer of for young broadcasters on how to do it, and an example of letting the event speak for itself. I just love him. If you see the movie that is out there, I think it's called For the Love of the Game, and it's got Vin Scully doing some narration, actually pretending to do play-by-play with Kevin Costner's character, Billy Chappell, in a really pretty good baseball movie. Kevin Costner's made a couple of good baseball movies, Bull Durham, and I liked For the Love of the Game, although it probably wasn't a critical success.
What about Field of Dreams?
Field of Dreams. There's the other mega hit that he did with that. And Vin Scully was a disciple, if I am not mistaken, of an older sportscaster known as Red Barber, who was my father's all-time favorite. My father would love to say, picking up the pea patch, which was the rosin bag, when the pitchers would pick that up. And the thing about Vin Scully was when he made the pivot, he was just perfect for L.A. because he had that smoothness and that that quality that was almost laid back, but not lacking in any preparation mm-hmm. or lacking in any knowledge. And there have been a lot of great sportscasters, but Vin Scully was a play-by-play man who knew how to do it. He knew how to weave the action into a good story, and most importantly, he knew when to shut up. And especially with baseball, if you get these guys that can't handle silence, oh God, that what I equate them to is what we do. We are disc jockeys. and we hate silence. And if you do that as a DJ, that's all right. You're filling air. That's our job, to fill air. But in sports, especially sports television broadcasting, you have a, you know, wonderful picture going on, and there's something special going on in a baseball game, and then something monumental happens, like a Kirk Gibson home run in the middle of the World Series. You shut up and you let it happen. And there have been so many examples of it when they don't do it that well. But I've been such a fan of, you know, we lost one of my all-time favorites, and it hit home, and I didn't do a tremendous amount of talking about it, but Jerry Remy passed earlier this year. And with Vince Scully, man, oh, man, just that voice, that distinctive voice, and a way to do it where you just felt, you felt cool to listen to the guy as he broadcast through his 80s. Mm-hmm. It was special. Dodgers fans, LA fans know what I'm talking about. So we lost him, and I know, Rob, you curated some audio.
We'll have go to Soundtown, but there's a few I want to play.
Well, play
for
it
you
all
here.
Now. Give it to me all. All right. I'd like to, if we're going to, because you don't want to do that and then come back and do it, unless you don't have anything for Soundtown.
No,
if you
want to
break
Mike,
it up, that's fine.
Always,
you know,
plenty of stuff in the town.
Okay. All right. Because I just think I'd like to, I'd like to get the sad part of the show over because I miss him already. He was such one of my favorite broadcasters.
I don't think these will make you sad, Mike. Right. He was challenged in the 1980s. They said, you know, you could read the phone book and it would be interesting, Vin. He said, I don't know if that's true. And then someone said, what about a grocery list? Here's Vin Scully reading a grocery list.
Okay, cool.
Sure, Andy, I'd be happy to. Well, let's see. We've got a dozen eggs, a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, a can of frozen orange juice, six small white onions, a green pepper, garlic powder, a package of American cheese, pickles, kosher that is, bananas, cornflakes, maple syrup, toothpaste, paper towels, toilet paper, six bars of soap, hot dogs, quarter pound of chopped meat, steak, lamb chops, package of spaghetti, three apples, bologna, cottage cheese, a pound of butter, two ears of corn, beer, ketchup, peanut butter, soy sauce, and a half a pound of coffee.
I could listen to that for a year. I swear I could.
Okay, so it's not the classic baritone, but it's this amazing resonance that he has with his voice.
Great game show announcer Johnny Olson once said the reason that he was a hit as an early announcer on television is his voice wasn't too low and it carried well through tiny speakers. The tiny speakers of a television. If you think of Vin Scully coming through a transistor radio, that's the perfect pitch for a little 3-inch speaker in a transistor radio. And I think that probably had something to do with it. Now, as you know, he was with the Dodgers going back to Brooklyn. He actually, his first job out of college. Did you know this?
Yeah, that's when my dad became a Red Sox fan after the Dodgers left New York.
But before that,
my dad lived and worked in New York.
Vin's first job out of college was at WTOP Radio in Washington, D.C.
Where did he go? Did he go to Catholic University?
I don't know where he went to college, but he graduated to WTOP.
Columbia. I'd love to. Pony, find out where Vin Scully went to school. I'm
and
just
so
curious.
When you talk, when your career goes that long and the world is changing around you, and he can still adapt and have fun with it, here's Vin Scully talking about Twitter, which is a very different thing than like
1950s. This is late in his career.
Yeah, but it's still, it's great.
Third inning, 2-1 D-backs. The Dodgers received a Twitter. Certainly Matt Kemp received it, so did Hanley Ramirez. And the Twitter came from Shane Victorino,
tweet,
who is going to be here for tomorrow's game, a 12-10 game against Arizona. And the Twitter read, or do you say twit? Anyway, the twit read, Aloha Los Angeles, ready to come help the Dodgers win it all. Let's go. That was to Kemp and Ramirez, and we pass it along to you.
Also, Mike, he didn't understand what a mullet was.
He got blanked at first base. And in reading a Colorado paper about the game, they said his throw was just a little bit longer than the mullet that he wears. And I remember reading that, and I thought, mullet? Mullet's a fish. So we went on the computer.
Surreal.
It's both. It's a hairdo and a fish. But there's nothing fishy about this kid. All right. He can really play.
Love it.
That, and there's a guy that's getting old, is older than dirt.
Self-aware.
Yeah.
Total self-awareness. I forgot what I wrote on the post that I said. Situational awareness.
Yes.
And situational. Oscar, don't you think situational awareness is kind of self-awareness as well?
It's the best. It's the best. I'm a fan, but I'm well aware, like any other broadcaster in the country, of Elvis Duran, right?
Is he loud? Boys, is he loud enough? Is he, because I'm having trouble.
I can give you a little bit more. Is that better?
Give me a little bit more. What does it sound like in D.C., guys?
Sounds great in D.C. I can increase your sentence.
I
increased. I don't want anybody to increase. Elvis Duran.
Very good.
Yeah.
When I see him on TikTok, because it's a top 40 station, and he's acting like he's 23.
Oh, it's so gross.
It is.
Creeps me out.
It's so gross. It's so gross. And so many people in our business do it where, you know, you don't need to do it. I don't think you need to do it in baseball because baseball is so old school anyway.
Yeah, but this guy's authentic. He's calling it a twit. He's not calling himself a dummy. He's like, I don't know. I'm figuring this out.
Yeah, it's a mullet is a fish. Now,
even non-famous people can do it where you'll be out and about and you'll see an old guy. You get it all the time down here. You'll see old guys that are dressed inappropriately, you know?
Yes.
Carl and I went out over the weekend, and I like to – look, this is short country down here. There are guys that brag about the fact that they come from up north and they never put on a pair of long pants again. When I go out to dinner in a restaurant, it's just a thing for me. Mm-hmm. If it's not super cash or my friends at Mia, I usually, if it's a nice restaurant, I like to throw on a longer pants. But – in, you know, surface of the sun, 85% humidity, denim doesn't really work for me. And Carla, for the longest time, has said to me that my fat man dress pants that I like to wear make me look all the fatter. And, of course, the style, I call it the Stuglinski style.
Oh, yeah.
Has been tapered. And you wear. So I was kind of proud of both her and me, where she said, here, try these on. And they looked almost like linen, but they were these pants. And
a breathable material.
I said, there's no way. Why should I even do it? And I put them on, and suddenly they not only fit in the waist, but they fit in the crotch, and they fit in the leg and the leg. And I came out, and I felt so incredibly hip. And then I caught myself in the mirror right before we were going, I said, oh, no, that's just a fat guy with thin pants on.
That's all that is.
So the point is, Vin Scully knew he was an old guy. Situational and self-awareness works miles for me.
If you go back, keep in mind, he was there for so many of the great moments. This is 1974. I apologize in advance. The audio is not as crisp as we're accustomed.
Is this Kirk Gibson?
No, this is Hank Aaron. Hitting his 715th.
Much earlier than Kirk Gibson.
Yeah,
sorry.
715th home run. And this is amazing. This is 1974. And listen to who's.
Is this a network game? Is this him calling on the network?
I believe so, yeah. So, because they had a lot of network graphics. Listen for who tried to catch in the outfield this ball, okay? Breaking Babe Ruth's record.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
Buckner.
What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world.
I cut out 45 seconds of silence because he just let the pictures tell the story.
So so it was about 45 seconds. So just picture it if you can, because Rob, you know, I understand why you did that. It's just so, and then he has his line, and you know, does he rehearse it? Of course he does.
Well,
you know? He probably has what he's going to say in his mind at least, and it's just got, you don't think so?
Well, no, I mean, he was reacting when there was action on the field. He was calling it. He says,
no, I'm saying that once the home run's hit.
Likely, yeah, but there were elements that couldn't have been rehearsed.
I'm saying that they usually have a nice little saying.
Of course.
Do you believe in miracles with Al Michaels? And it's just fun to listen to great broadcasters.
I'm a true believer that the greats make it look easy. That's why we're having this battle. Did he have this rehearsed? Did he have the line ready to go?
Yep.
You guys were, you know, in a good spot and a wonderful opportunity to become friends with Jim Nantz. Like the Nantzisms, those were part of like a tapestry of Nantzisms, right?
Yeah. Longevity.
That he laid out.
Just, you know,
his opening monologue. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he cares about it. He's an original. He really is. And, he's worked with some great guys. I guess yeah. Sir Nick. Nick Faldo is going to be leaving with that. But, Vince Scully, you got any more for
us? Yeah, I have two more I want to play for you, if that's cool. And, Mike, I was very surprised to know that Bill Buckner was the guy who did not catch the 715th
home run. That's before he was playing first base and letting it go through his legs for the Red
Sox.
Although, remember, are you going to play that?
Yes.
Are you going to play that clip?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, and then
this
I'll
is
get
when the,
go.
The,
thank
the,
you.
The,
thank you for finding that one. You don't have do you have the Kirk Gibson home run?
I do not.
You don't. But have the Bill Buckner seventh game of the World Series.
It was the sixth game of the 86 World Series.
I was at that game.
And the Mets won the game. But the amazing thing, Mike, and I have this.
Or was I at the seventh game? I was at the seventh game.
But here's the amazing thing about this. This one I had to cut out, and I timed it. 1:51 of the announcer not saying anything. Almost 2 minutes of network airtime where
fantastic.
He just let the pictures talk.
He got it.
And he did. Anyway, here's Vin Scully. This is 1986.
Can you believe this ball game at Shea?
Oh, brother.
So the winning run is at second base with 2 out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight and the Mets win it. If one picture is worth 1,000 words, you have seen about 1,000,000 words. But more than that, you have seen an absolutely bizarre finish to Game 6 of the 1986 World Series. The Mets are not only alive, they are well, and they will play the Red Sox in Game 7 tomorrow.
But what's amazing about that, again, I did cut out nearly 2 minutes of just cheering.
Just, Rob, just give me a moment.
Okay, sorry.
You can get. It. You just have.
But
to
when you talk
for
about
all Red
I
Sox fans,
I understand.
That's pain. That's indescribable. That's my indescribably painful spectator sport moment in my entire lifetime.
But when you talk about scripting, there's no way anyone saw that coming and how well he handled
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. We're
where
over
were
the
you when
right
you
now.
Watched that game?
I had the. There's a guy that does a golf podcast. My friend Mike Krasny, and his wife at the time, Kathy, who were over at my home. It was a Sunday, if I am not mistaken, either a Saturday or a Sunday. It very well could have been a Saturday with a travel day on Sunday. I know that we were in New York for a Giants-Redskins game on Monday night, and Alan Goodman acquired tickets, and I believe to the seventh game. Someone would have to go back and check. I hope I've got my days right. But the bottom line was I stood up. I had a button-down shirt on, and I ripped the shirt open. I was so pissed off. And they left.
Oh, wow.
My guests left. I was not, I was not in any real controlled
this
situation. It wasn't that I was mean to them. I was just so.
He was upset.
All
distraught.
The buttons?
Yeah.
So, what's that?
Did all the buttons come off?
Yeah, a lot of them.
And then he turned green.
I was so mad. I was so. What do you mean? Like, is that a Hulk reference?
Yeah, the Hulk thing. Yeah, of course.
All right. Okay. It was so. Oh, God.
Vin Scully went to Fordham College at Rose Hill in the state of New York. I believe that's where G. Gordon Liddy went.
Fordham. That's in the Bronx. I think that's where their campus
and
is.
And let's close with this. This is from October 2nd, 2016. This is Vin Scully's final sign-off. And if this doesn't scream class, I don't know class when I see it. Here's Vin Scully's final television sign-off.
You know, friends, so many people have wished me congratulations on a 67-year career in baseball, and they've wished me a wonderful retirement with my family. And now, all I can do is tell you what I wish for you. May God give you for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, and a blessing in each trial. For every problem life seems a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song and an answer for each prayer. You and I have been friends for a long time, but I know in my heart that I've always needed you more than you've ever needed me. And I'll miss our time together more than I can say. But you know what? There will be a new day and eventually a new year. And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
Safe home, Vin Scully.
Oh, man, and can you imagine being a lifer Dodger fan and not having a tear in your eye when he did that? Unbelievable. Good audio. Great audio at the end there, except for the Buckner thing. Let's bring our talking head in, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Our talking head goes by the name of Mario Sobrino. Yes, sorry. Mario Sobrino has been listening to us for 11 years. And never misses an episode. He randomly discovered us on the iTunes comedy chart in 2011, forked over $2 for bonus show number 52, and was instantly hooked. He is a 29-year-old single guy who lives in Oxford, Mississippi, and is, fingers crossed, in his final year of graduate school at the University of Mississippi. He is ready for his douchebag 30s. Yay! He is currently completing his PhD in counselor education and supervision and just taught his first independently taught course, a master's level class in addiction. Ooh, I'm curious about that.
Man, Dr. Rob.
Yeah. Are you curious about that?
I had a lot of questions for him yesterday. I got a B+.
Thank you. He is originally from Orlando, Florida, grew up wanting to be a Disney Imagineer. Oh, that's misguided. But for now, his doctorate will have to do. Oh, the man made some good choices to get on the right path. He received a bachelor's degree from Florida Atlantic University, where he was also Owlsley the Owl, not another mascot. Oh, my God. The FAU mascot. I'm trying to remember where FAU is. We'll find out. He enjoys the camaraderie of the show's principals and loves that we are consistently there for him, regardless of where he is, like good friends. All-time favorite bit, Carrie drunk off her ass at the WVU game. And Lil Bow Wow once stole Mario's McNuggets. Intrigued he should be, and now here is Mario Sobrino. Hello, Mario, I like you. I'm laughing right away when I look at your T-shirt. Donut. That is a great. I don't know why that is, but
Donut
that is
Media. Is that the Donut channel?
Yes,
YouTube channel?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, Donut Media YouTube channel.
Oh, that's awesome. How are you, Mario? Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, I'm all right. You mentioned wearing shorts with 85% humidity, and this morning it's clocking at 92 here in Oxford, Mississippi. 92%
oh, Mississippi,
humidity.
No escape from that along the Gulf Coast. It's difficult there. Florida Atlantic. I'm trying to think. Why do I forget where that is? I know it's a big school down here in Florida.
That is in Boca Raton, Florida.
It's on the East Coast. That's what I thought. And Owlsley the Owl. I feel, I think with Rob going down to Richmond and looking at the sugar gliders or whatever the hell, the owls, what were they?
They were the flying squirrels. Yeah.
The flying squirrels. Did you almost lose it? You were the one that was there.
No, Mike, I didn't almost lose it.
You're slowing the draw.
So anywho, you are now getting your PhD. They're going to call you doctor. And how long? 29 years old. You've been at the studenting game for quite some time, have you not?
A lifelong student, and I can truly say that.
What is donut, Oscar? I don't even know what donut is.
If you're a car aficionado and you want to learn more about the history of cars or just cool cars.
You say car or carb?
Car,
oh,
C-A-R.
Because okay. The other donut would be a carb thing.
Yeah, not carbs.
So what, you want to learn on what, how to repair them, how to buy them?
More like the history of the Ferrari F40 or why the Lexus LS isn't as popular as it should be. Or how come the Toyota Corolla is one of the most fastest selling cars in the world.
Or how to put a small spare tire on if you get a flat.
Are you an automobile aficionado, Mario Sobrino?
Oh, sir, if I had the time and the money, perhaps I would. As a lifelong student, I have to wait until I actually get the doctor title to actually be able to call myself a car guy.
So when you make the pivot from the East Coast of Florida, which a lot of people call New York with palm trees, and then you blast on up to, I mean, instantaneously, you're not really going north when you make that move. You're going deeper into the South, and you are in the absolute heart of the burning state, as I like to call it. The experience of being in Mississippi, what can you tell me about that? Because we don't have a lot of people from Mississippi on the show.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Orlando, Florida. So, you know, a much larger metropolitan area even than sure. Boca Raton. And yes, definitely the transition to kind of a first time living in a truly rural area. You know, it's very much that that classic Florida saying, if you want to go south, go north, because very much North Florida, much like the rest of the South, is that really typical Southern culture. And yeah, I think for me, I think the accents have been probably my favorite part. It is 100% accurate. Everyone tends to be more on the friendly side, I would even argue, than even Orlando and play areas like that. Obviously, University of Mississippi is known as one of the best tailgate areas in the United States. And yeah, I think this is kind of a unique area because it's a little bit more on the affluent side of Mississippi. So it's okay. Kind of interesting because it's rural and you have a little bit more of the affluent side that you have the, you know, my father's a lawyer, kids and things like that. And so it's a little bit of everything. It's more than you would kind of think just with someone moving to
you're like breaking stereotypes where... This is important. Good.
Well, Mario, we'd love to have you out to the plantation for a mint julep this weekend if you'd like to come by in Oxford, Mississippi. I have not. I'm trying to think in all the states I've been to, almost all of them, and I don't think I've ever. No, I didn't have,
we
have never.
Well, we had an affiliate in Louisiana. We never made it to Mississippi, did we?
We Baton Rouge. Yeah, we had an affiliate. Stick. I think we had one in New Orleans for a while. Yeah. Maybe. We have Mobile, Alabama, but we never got to Mississippi.
Someday, so Mike, someday.
Who's your biggest school rival? At is it Ole Miss? Is Ole Miss the?
Ole Miss is our university, and so our rival would be Mississippi State.
Mississippi, are you old? Is that old? Is University of Mississippi Ole Miss?
That is correct.
Oh, see, I got it completely.
That's Carrie's nickname. I'm an idiot. That's Carrie's nickname at her school.
Really?
Ole Miss?
Yes. How Ole Miss? So that's okay. So that's big football.
The biggest party schools in the world.
I'm such an idiot. I've only known Ole Miss. I'm such a, you know, I'm a rube.
I'm a question
comes to
as
that.
A, as a
wait,
student.
Wait. He's saying something. Hold on.
Yeah, he's talking.
In fairness, Mike, a big reason that I always use the University of Mississippi is because of the storied history of Ole Miss. And
Ole
so,
Miss.
Yes. Yeah. So particularly. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I just think Ole Miss. I think of that. University of Mississippi is Ole Miss.
Yes.
Yes. That is correct.
And do they have University of Mississippi t-shirts? No, they have Ole Miss t-shirts as far as the eye can see. And, you know.
Absolutely.
A football game
and
there is
just,
probably
not
impressive.
Just t-shirts. Yeah, I wanted to ask the as a upper level, a graduate student, are you still part of the football scene, or is that largely for the undergrads?
So I you know, growing up, I always wanted to go to a larger school. I always wanted to go to the University of Florida or, you know, another kind of SEC school. So it was really great being able to come here, finally being able to be at a very big program. A lot of excitement here, obviously, with Lane Kiffin and everyone. And we had Matt Corral this last year, which was just, it was so much fun to watch. And so
you're into that.
I'm very much into the football part, the tailgating part. I walked through it. It was kind of like, you know, I would imagine like the last days of Caligula, essentially. It's just insanity. It really, really is.
I always tell the story about when we went to the University of Iowa and we were being hauled around by that really, really nice guy who was an alum and a football alum as well. I forgot what his name was, but he was talking to us about, and people are normally really well-behaved, and, you know, it's a party, but people don't go too crazy. And right about that time, we came around the corner, and there was a Ford Explorer that had driven right through a storefront window with cops around
like
it and all
movie.
That, because it's a drink-a-thon. I mean, you're molding minds, and people are really learning, you know, who has the gene to really succeed in alcoholism. And speaking of alcoholism, so
here we go.
You're going to specialize in... You've taught a master's level class in addiction. What is the, and I'll ask you a question. I don't want to put you on the spot. What would be the number one thing about addiction that you think people get wrong?
Number one thing that people get wrong. I think the number one thing that I would say is people just assume people just made kind of bad choices or things like that. Because at the end of the day, sure, behaviorally, that's exactly what happened. But if you really look at it systemically, you know, what is everything that contributed to that choice? You know, particularly if you're looking at stimulants, for example, at the end of the day, they serve a very specific and especially in America, a very helpful function for maintaining energy and to be able to, you know, ADHD. Work more effectively, yeah. ADHD, certainly. And, you know, at the end of the day, it has, there's a reason people take it. It's not just because of a physiological addiction, but it's because that substance actually provides them with some type of benefit. And so I think a lot of times when people just say, they just made bad choices or they made this or that, you know, a lot of times I think it's like, you know, well, did they have, you know, the support systems that they needed early on to be able to make different choices or so on and so forth. So yes, I would say, more than anything, it's just, I could certainly take up a whole show talking about the stigmas within, addiction, but,
well, we've had an author on, Johan Hari, who, I think the book was called Chasing the Scream, who came on and was talking about addiction and when you talk about a support network, same thing with the lack of hope, where you would take people, put them into a rehab center, have them get counseling, have them go through a treatment program, yeah. have them do everything they're supposed to do, and then throw them right back into the same hopelessness that they were coming from. And it doesn't take a lot of time for them to get back to those old habits. And speaking of that, would you say that the opioid crisis is still, as far as addiction in this country, probably number one as far as what we need to deal with?
I would go one further than that and say much more than just what we, you know, very much consider opioids as, Percocets and things like that. Fentanyl is unfortunately the biggest problem right now, without a question of a doubt. And that statistic of, a grain of sand can kill you. A grain of sand of absolutely pure 100% fentanyl. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. And that's the truly terrifying thing. And
I'm sorry for cutting you off. You're absolutely right. It's, some people don't talk about it, especially if you have kids, right? It's like, it's just different. The parameters of being a father now and having a child, Mike knows, Rob knows, I just hear secondhand it's just tough, because I remember being at WVU and someone saying, do you want a totem pole? And I'm like, why would we ever eat wood? Like, it just didn't know. The totem pole was a pill, apparently.
Being close to my family with my daughter's boyfriend who overdosed and died. And that was the way I got it. And I don't want to speak out of hand because I don't know all the details. But there was a run of fentanyl going around the Tampa, Orlando area that was just killing people right and left. And the thing about fentanyl that's insidious, too, is that it can be put in other substances that people will unwillingly ingest it, extremely lethal. But ultimately, when you go on, is addiction going to be your area of expertise in your doctorate? Is that what you're doing?
It's not my area of expertise per se. It's something is actually, when I was in my master's program, I never really thought I wanted to work with kind of addiction specifically, clients, you know, living with addiction, so on. And it really wasn't until I had a wonderful professor in my class and a wonderful experience where I did my internship, where I absolutely fell in love with that demographic. And so while, I think one of the reasons that I did go into counselor education, though, at the end of the day, was to have that variety and have those options. So certainly I hope to contribute to that community, as well as, you know, certainly all the other areas of mental health that are very needed right now.
Well, if you had to evaluate the three of us, just off the top of your head, you've listened to us long enough. Who's the most broken?
Broken. Yes. I would need a more specific definition of broken, because I think you're all broken in very different ways.
That's for sure.
Well, can you give us the top reason each of us are broken then?
Because I think you've got three guys here, and I mean this seriously. You have three people here that may actually all be saying, "Well, it's me. Let's see if he's got it right." I just, who knows? You don't have to do that. We won't put you on that kind of spot. Rob, you have any questions for, from Mario?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. Addiction is bad, right?
Depends who you ask.
Okay, just checking.
Okay. That's all we got. That's all. You haven't actually dealt with anybody in that realm, right, Rob? You haven't.
And again, no. I mean, if I did.
He's self-taught.
Right now, it was self-taught and I self-cured.
Any tips you could give Rob Spiewak for being a counselor? You know, I mean, as far as anything you'd say that that he's either doing well or not doing?
And I will I'll add to Mike's question, if I can, to be more specific.
You could do that.
Habits. Habits are really key for me. I'm a very habitual guy. I like routines. And I think one of the reasons that I was such a heavy drinker is I got into the habit of every night coming home, having a drink, having dinner. Eating what I want for dinner. Now it's different. Now I come home and I eat what I should eat for dinner. And it's sort of becoming a habit, but it's certainly not as comfortable as what I did for the first 50 years of my life. What is the sort of core behind breaking a habit like that? Because they're tough to defuse.
It's certainly, and I'll say two parts to that and answer Mike's half and say, honestly, when I spoke with Rob before this, you know, I commend Rob so much for all of that transition that he's made, because I was thinking about him during the addictions course and everything like that, the way that
thank you.
He very nonstop, I was thinking about Rob. No,
that's good.
But specifically, when he mentioned, you know, being able to kind of transition away from alcohol, and he even mentioned specifically, I remember, you know, it's been food that's been one of the more difficult parts to adjust to. That the alcohol you're able to kind of transition to, but obviously food habits are far more difficult, and to many extents, I agree with that in a very different sense, because obviously addiction lies within the kind of physiological realm and so on and so forth. But and Rob didn't necessarily show those types of symptoms specifically. But in terms of habits and so on and so forth, it's what I try to emphasize so much with our classes is one of the really difficult parts when individuals are, you know, trying to experience sobriety for the first time is that change of habits, because it's so much more than, stop, you know, drinking. It's stop going to the bar where you used to socialize primarily with all of your friends and you've grown really strong and fond relationships. And so unfortunately, you know, there's a mourning process to it. There's a, you know, true kind of honoring. I know you guys had Steve-O on your show. It was, mm-hmm. it was a wonderful interview that I loved.
It was great.
I think Steve-O really embodies something that I think is very important of acknowledging that, you know, the substances that were used were, you know, had positive effects and led to positive memories in some way, shape, or form, despite the fact that they eventually became problematic. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people just try to say like, okay, forget it all, forget about alcohol. You know, you never did it or anything like that. And really it's just not the way. It's being able to identify, okay, you know, I used to socialize in this way, smoking. We see that all the time. Mm-hmm. Individuals who, you know, go outside and take smoke breaks all the time and so on and so forth. It's readjusting and identifying the best ways to kind of re-socialize or really adjust the socialization so that it can happen in a healthy and fulfilling way. Because I think that's the important part, the fulfilling way without it, or as fulfilling as possible.
It's interesting you should say that, because I recently talked on the show about how going down to visit my dad at the beach was a test for me, because that was so much about sitting down and having a few beers with my dad. Well, Robert's going back to school next week, and this weekend I'm going to take him to Jimmy's. And I've not been to a bar since I was in the hospital. And so that's going to be another test. And it's also
does Jimmy know you're sober?
No, but I'll leave.
Jimmy listens every day. Okay, Jimmy listens all the time. I think he'd know.
He texted me a few times when
poster
I was
boy for peer pressure
going through it all. But this,
come on, Rob.
One doesn't
come
count. On. I thought
Heineken Zero.
A vodka
hop
would
on the
be
Tito's
refreshing.
Train. Come on now.
The lime juice is good for you. But this will be a test. But also the first time that I've ever taken Robert to Jimmy's where he's not going to be the
kamikaze. He's not going to hurt you.
Where Robert's not going to be the designated driver. So it's going to be a. It's going to be.
That should have been a tell that all of us should have paid attention to for you and used to bring your children to a designated driver.
Only
for you.
When
like
they
when
were.
They were mid-teens.
Yeah, you know, no,
they were 16.
Like, they had their license.
That's good.
For what he talks about is the associations and the socialization. it's going to be a little weird.
Yeah, going to ground zero.
Going to ground zero. And I mean, it's not like I've gotten terribly trashed there before, but there are times when I've just had a couple beers. I won't even have that.
So I think that ultimately going to see your dad would probably be a little tougher.
That's going to be hard.
Than Jimmy's.
Well, because the beer is free there.
Well, you've got another distraction, too.
That's
save
true.
Some calories and have some chow.
Yeah.
You know, at Jimmy's.
So
listen, we're running out of we've run out of time.
But thank you.
Mario, Sabrino, thank you so much. Interesting talking to you about your career and what you're doing. And when do you have a target date for when they're going to start calling you Dr. Sabrino? Do you know?
Fingers crossed, May 2023.
Good man.
May 2023. Good man. Fantastic. Anybody good you'd man. Like to say hello to before we let you go?
You know, for as long as I've listened to this show and as much as I've tried to spread the show around, it hasn't quite stuck with the 30 and under crowd quite as much
bastards.
As I would have liked.
Jerks.
Yes. Yeah. So that's exactly what I'd like to say. Yes, F them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mario, Sabrina. We appreciate that. We got to take a break. We are late as usual because it's a fabulous Wednesday show. We will continue with the homepage and more fun and more thrills. We really haven't gotten much of an update on Oscar up in Boston. We need to do that as well. All that coming up with lots of fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you, everybody, from the bottom of our hearts for listening.
Mike O'Mara.
Yes, Rob Spiewak.
Do you like not being heard under bridges?
I sure do. There's nothing that excites me more than that static.
Yeah, it's great being on AM.
We're talking about the Mike O'Mara Show a little before 5 every Monday through Friday right here on the mighty AM 1630 KCJJ. Hope you give us a listen. You'll enjoy it. And remember, corn, enjoy it a second time.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show, only on the mighty 1630 KCJJ.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of our program is brought to you by our good friends and our neighbors for a long, long time, still our neighbors in D.C. at Cornerstone First Financial. As anticipated, the Federal Reserve has increased their Fed funds rate by 75 basis points to combat inflation. But what does this mean to you? With mortgage rates up one day and down the next, it's more important than ever to work with a company you can trust. My good friend Mark Livingstone and the team at Cornerstone First Financial are that company. This real estate market is different than in the past. And whether you're a first-time home buyer, deciding whether to rent or own, upsizing, downsizing, anything in between, what you need is a team that knows your specific options and can get you the absolute best deal for you and your family. Cornerstone has everything you need for your home purchase, including a portfolio of great real estate agents that suit your needs. With their years of experience, customer service, and low rate guarantee, why would you call anyone else? And we know them because we've all used them. Whether a purchase or refinance, call our friends at Cornerstone First Financial today, the number one mortgage company of all TMOS fans. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. And let me just get my stuff together here because I'm having some.
And Mike, while we
issues.
Have a sec, the gentleman who helped us out in Iowa was Bill Windauer. So I hope that he is
what
well
nice
and
guy.
Within the sound
football
of
football player,
voice.
Right? Former football player.
Ex-football player and a great booster of all things Iowa. So hi, Bill. How you been?
And Steve Bridges up at KCJJ. Keep showing those pictures online of fried food. We appreciate that. We really do. I mean, he does. He goes to great little places and he always says, it was kind of fun.
There you go. From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. And there's a thread online where people are talking about the oldest celebrities they still find attractive. We are running late, so I'm going to try to fly through this right now. Number one, I have no idea why I got number one. He's my age. Viggo Mortensen.
Really? Oh, wow. I wouldn't classify him as an older
it's
guy.
Kind of what I how
my
I react
God.
To. Jane Seymour, rode up an elevator with her one time, 71. Elvira. No.
I can see that.
Great body. Yeah.
Okay. Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals.
Definitely,
she's 63 also.
Yes.
Bruce Campbell is 64.
Definitely.
Sally Field, 75. Susan Sarandon, 75. Stanley Tucci. I like.
Not even when he's young.
I love all his movies. I hate his CNN show.
Yeah.
He's so flippin' arrogant in his CNN. Isn't he smarmy?
Yeah.
Pony, you like those kind of shows like I do, and he's just kind of like, oh.
Yeah, he's like, I broke the internet with a single tweet.
Yeah, I mean, just yeah. Thank you. Attaboy. Julie Andrews is 86 and still people.
No, you know what? Not even in the movie SOB.
No. No, you're right. Right.
And really get right down to it, not even in The Sound of Music.
Okay, Dolly Parton. There's something, we could do a show on it. We could do a whole segment on it.
Maybe in Mary Poppins.
Dolly Parton, 76. Yes. Jeff Bridges, 72. Just did that TV show, The Old Man. Mm. Pierce Brosnan, 69. Helen Mirren, 77. Mm-hmm. Salma Hayek, 55. Salma Hayek is still manages to look stunning.
I believe
so. God. Debbie Harry, 77. Harrison Ford, 80. Tom Selleck, 77. And George Clooney. Clooney is only 2 years younger than me. What's wrong with me? Man, when I look in the mirror, he's 61.
These are hard years, though, Mike. Hey, hard, those are radio years.
Where on that list is Cybill Shepherd?
Have you? Okay, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to tell you how I feel really about celebrities. Cybill Shepherd did not make the cut, unfortunately.
But in her day, something and a half.
Yeah, beautiful. have you ever been enjoying a nice, peaceful walk and then been rudely interrupted by Tom Cruise doing daredevil stunts? Probably not.
No, I'd love to.
That's what happened to a couple in the UK. They say they were out walking on a mountain, taking a little hike in the country, when Tom arrived on a helicopter at the top of the mountain to do a paragliding stunt.
Of course he did.
Look, I don't like James Corden that much, but I do love the stunt videos with James Corden. Tom Cruise, you can say a lot about the guy. The guy's got balls to do the stuff that he does. He truly likes to do these stunts. He apologized to them on the top of the mountain when he noticed them with their dog. He said, sorry for your disturbing your peaceful walk. I can't do Tom Cruise.
That's terrible. I don't think there's anything to do about it.
Sorry for all the noise. I like your dog. And then he added, see you later, folks. And then he jumped off the cliff with a paraglider. No word on what he was filming, but if we had to guess, probably Mission Impossible 35.
Yeah.
Which will be coming out.
I would dream of that. Just seeing a celebrity alone, let alone a stunt.
Especially out in the middle of the country. And all of a sudden you hear, na, 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 and the helicopter comes down. Wouldn't that be very special? Very exciting to see Tom Cruise. I just think it's super cool that he flies
up in the mountains.
It's the UK, though. That's okay. The wrong. You've got him in Austria, and that's the United Kingdom.
They're connected, aren't they? You have to go underwater.
It would be. Well, see, you still had Julie Andrews on the brain too with Sound of Music. It would be a lot of fun if it was like Germany in the 1940s.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. What
comes out in costume.
What are you doing?
I don't know what I'm talking about. I've known a few people who went their entire careers like this. Have you heard the work term quiet quitting yet? Oscar, have you heard that expression?
No, I've heard force quit, but not quiet.
Quiet quitting. It's not when you actually quit your job. It just means you stop caring so much and you refuse to go the extra mile. So work is not your top priority. Basically, you choose to only perform your specific job duties. So instead of giving 110%, you back it off to whatever you can get away with and not get fired. And it's not just trending here. It is also happening in other countries, including China, where they use the term Tang Ping, which means lying flat. It's possible the pandemic lockdowns caused it. People realized that free time is nice and wanted more of it. And the fact that the wealth gap is widening probably hasn't helped either, when it seems impossible to get ahead. People don't try as hard and they quiet quit.
Yeah, well, the wealth gap isn't going to change unless you work for it. Let me just tell America that right now. You got to make your opportunities. Quiet quitting, laying flat, whatever it may be.
You're a taskmaster.
That's not going to change your paradigm.
And then there's also the opposite, loud quitting, which is a true story that Larry David on a Friday quit Saturday Night Live as a writer and made a big deal about it. Over the weekend, realized that he'd made a mistake and came back in Monday and never brought it up.
Really?
Yes, he really did that.
He loud quit.
He loud quit. And then
I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
Pony boy.
Well, quiet quitting apparently is a thing. And, you know, just to keep your eyes out
Matt,
for it.
Can I ask Matt real quick, Mike, if you don't mind? Matt Bloom?
Yes.
How do you feel about that story?
I didn't know what to call it, but now I do.
Oh, now you got a name for it?
He's getting ballsier in his old age.
I love it.
And I like it. A new poll done by Texas Tech found 73% of us agree. This is what I was going to say about college. I had a story coming up. That college just isn't about book learning. It's also about learning to be an adult.
Yeah.
People who were asked to name the hardest things about college and getting good grades didn't. It did rank first, of course. But it barely beat out these next three. Learning how to manage your time. That was huge for me in college. Huge, 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 huge. You really learn that if you go to an institution of higher learning. Having more responsibilities. You're kind of on your own when you get to college. It's like, yeah, do the work, get it done, or else. And living on your own, and there's certain kids that can't handle it. 85% of people who've gone to college say it helped prepare them for real life. The top things they picked were organizational skills and figuring out what they're passionate about. And also, the old idea that you'll never actually use your degree might be outdated now. 70% of people say in the survey that they're still working in the field that they got their degree in. That's me. I'm working in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. It's not broadcast journalism, but I don't think I would have thrived in broadcast journalism. I like what we do. I enjoy that. A new poll. I just read that. Kids at home, don't print things twice. Thought my packet was a little thick. The General Mills Monster cereals are soon making their return to store shelves for the Halloween season.
Great.
And this year, Fruit Brute. The one that I've missed. I do not know the Fruit Brute.
Yes.
It's being added back into the mix after a long absence. Officially announced today, General Mills' beloved Frankenberry, Count Chocula, and Boo Berry. And for the first time in nearly a decade, Fruit Brute. Are you familiar? You like all these cereals.
Yeah, it's a fruity cereal. It's akin to like Trix or something like that.
Or Fruit Loops or something like that.
Yeah, and the mascot is a werewolf. Are they bringing back Yummy Mummy?
No, I didn't see Yummy Mummy on the list, but Berry is there. Okay, wow. A lot of editing today. That's it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a little something-something. Dozens of packages containing cocaine were found washed up along the coastline of the Florida Keys over the weekend. U.S. Border Patrol officials said the drugs were discovered by some residents who found the packages in a line of mangroves near the Ocean Point Condominiums. Monroe County deputies were called to collect the packages. They found a large package that had multiple smaller ones within it. The smaller packages were tightly packed with black tape. Their contents field tested positive for cocaine. In other news, the Ocean Point Condominiums will be extending their up all night August meet and greet. Followed by the Sunday Alex Jones sound-alike contest. Thank you. Is that trial going on now, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so when I'm watching that on YouTube, I have been, that has been my must-see TV.
BS crazy.
Oh, my God.
The guy's attorney.
We'll have to set out some time tomorrow. We'll be right back, everybody.
I'm a whore, Jack.
He's a whore that snores.
A snoring whore. What a great name for a bar.
The snoring
whore? We're going down to the snoring whore.
She was a whore.
Did you just call me a whore?
When you're ready to rub shoulders with the elite, there's a downtown hot spot with your name on it.
Come on down to the snoring whore.
The snoring whore.
The snoring whore.
Snoring whore.
Discriminating company in an upscale atmosphere that won't break the bank.
Just like the Michael Marabona Show. Upscale laughs at wallet-friendly prices. For just pennies a day, you can subscribe to the Michael Marabona Show.
Snoring whore.
The Michael Marabona Show. Escort quality entertainment at hoo-ha prices.
You don't get to call me a whore.
Thanks, guys. Quick turnaround on that one. Yeah. Hey, summer break is a great opportunity for families to learn and explore together. KiwiCo delivers monthly crates full of science and art projects, perfect for kids of all ages who want to keep their imaginations active all summer long and away from computer and phone screens. I can't say I'm doing that right now.
Oh, well.
You know, he finished his Kiwi crate. You can build stomp rockets, kites, explore the science of trees, or engineer your own coin-eating robot. How about we have KiwiCo every day in the Omera household? Your child will have fun learning with super cool hands-on projects delivered to their door every month. KiwiCo gives them the tools to learn new skills, build new experiences, and make new connections to the broader world. Plus, KiwiCo has something for kids of all ages, and you can pause or cancel anytime. Michael loves KiwiCo, and I love watching him discover new things. Make summer a new learning adventure every month with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code TMOS at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code TMOS. Okay, we haven't really gotten an update on the Uncle of the Year, Oscar Santana, who is broadcasting live and has been very good to join us each and every day while he's up there on a bit of a, you know, staycation with watching some kids, hanging out a little bit. Yeah. But you're working as much as you can up there. Yeah. Yesterday you had Sebastian, and this is when you're...
You tried to ruin the show. It was terrible.
This is your fresh off the nephew and the niece being your mom's house where you stayed out there. You've had a lot of family, more than normal.
Ready to have kids, Mike, I've decided.
Really?
I think it costs $20,000 to freeze an embryo.
Give me more level for him, please, or you can give me more level.
Of course.
He sounds far. Does he sound far away to you at all?
Am I far
away? Sound
different
to you? No, he sounds fine here. He does.
Okay.
Descend to him, please.
Yes,
help him.
You got it.
All right. Thank you very much.
I went online today. It looks like it's $20,000 to freeze embryos. We're going to go ahead and pull that trigger in payments because I'm not ready to have a child probably till I'm in my 50s.
I don't know, Oscar. The frozen is good, but the fresh is better.
There's a lot of work to be done for Tio Oscar. For example, we did the show yesterday. Sebastian was wonderful to be around, but, you know, I'm trying to do a show. I can't.
So are they back today? Are they back, from their overnight? They were supposed to be back at 9 a.m.
My brother just went to go pick him up from camp with my wife. Dogs to the right of me. I know this.
To the left.
That
here
when we were
I am, stuck in the middle with you.
When we were done with the show, it was fun because I got a chance to spend time with him. We went in the pool. We had a cannonball contest. My wife filmed it, showed it to me later. There's nothing like seeing a Latin beluga whale that I've become jump into the water.
Did you make a good splash?
Made a big splash, busted my nuts all up, forgot how to do a cannonball. It's just terrible.
Tuck and roll.
Yesterday, there was great energy on yesterday's show. It was kind of a fun romp show. You were a little lagged, I think, a little wiped with all the travel.
Yeah, because I was watching
travel.
Him all day. All day. Mike,
and this is on the heels
Rob.
Of the niece and nephew who were in your mom's house, and you seemed a little burned on that one.
Yeah, because they stained the main couch in my mom's family room. Somebody decided to make a stylus out of a pen and then watch a movie with it in her pocket. And we all know you don't lay on a couch or a bed with a ink pen in your pocket. So when they got up, it looked like a war shack was on the couch.
Oh, no. Yeah. How does Mama Santana handle something like
this
that?
This is the great part. It's 11:30 p.m., and I'm like, hey, kids, I've done this. I one time had a friend put a Wu-Tang symbol on my bicep that used to exist, and I sweated it onto a white couch, and I know what to do because I called Macy's and asked them. And I said,
you still have that knowledge tucked away?
Hold on. Still have that knowledge.
We have to slow down a little bit.
Yes. All right.
So you stained a couch. And you actually called the department store.
I think we've had this story in the past.
Years ago.
A long time ago.
Years ago. I think I remember
like
this.
A decade
and
ago.
What is the solution for? Because pen ink, I would imagine, was almost impossible to get out, I would think.
What I had was for the solution for a leather couch. This will dull the leather.
Was it a leather couch that they were on?
This time it was cloth. The leather couch was gasoline.
Yep.
Blot the gasoline. It left a dull spot, but nothing a pillow couldn't cover when my parents come back from vacation.
Did they ever find it?
My mom found it. She thought that somebody had spilt something and it messed everything. I never told her. She doesn't know to this day. But moving on.
Actually, nowadays, it would be too expensive to use gasoline. Is there another solution?
For Penn, I had him. I knew we had to absorb it somehow. I said, if we use gasoline, it's gonna discolor the couch.
Right.
Find me on, let me just a guess, because there are tears everywhere, by the way, and I'm trying to teach them a lesson. Like, you can be a team, you can problem solve, you don't have to tell.
So there's crying going on because
there's
the couch was ruined.
13 year old my nephew's as his uncle blaming his 13 year old sister. Mm-hmm. And I said, guys, As a team,
is so is Luca mad at you for yelling at the sister?
No, Luca is mad at his sister for being a dummy and going and hanging out with a pen in her pocket.
Okay.
I said, no one's dumb here. They both were. No one's to blame here. Let's solve this together. Don't tell mommy and don't tell mommy Nia, which is our grandmother, my mother.
What does it mean?
Mommy Nia?
Yeah.
That's just what they would call her because they couldn't say, you know, my mom's name Yoli.
I don't know.
All right. So they say, okay, we won't say anything. I said, but we should say something, right? I said, no. This is the first time you can do this as brother and sister. Support each other. Somebody get on Google and figure out how to do this. So Luca gets on Google. They all have phones. He said, well, they said if you use rubbing alcohol, maybe you could save it if it's a fresh stain. So,
but if it was Luca, he would have said, they said if you use rubbing alcohol.
How fresh was the stain?
It was within the 15 minutes. Just found it.
Still wet.
But big. Like as big as my hand. Huge.
Oh, man.
The pen exploded
like solid
in the pocket.
Solid blue.
The whole thing was solid.
Like all the ink leaked out into the couch?
The type of pen and ink stains I would see my father's dress shirts type of situation, you know, before pen protectors.
And so what happened?
So my mom is a hoarder. God bless her. She has a bunch of alcohol swab sheets of paper. We went through almost the entire box, which is 300.
Like the little squares, right?
Of blotting, pulling some ink off. Like opening it up, blotting, pulling some ink off, and then getting another one right on top of it, getting that layer of ink off, layer. Took about an hour and a half, but got it all out.
Really? You killed the that's a miracle.
Yeah.
That had to be an amazingly, like the girl had to feel incredible camaraderie with all of you.
There was no.
What's her name again? I know we have Luca.
Sophia.
Sophia had to feel, was she grateful?
This is what I don't like. When things are working, people leaving the project, you know,
you got it.
You got it. Okay, I'm going to go. She ran upstairs in middle of this, working, and knocked on, Mommy Nia, I just need to show you something. So
she ratted herself out?
She went to tell my mom and her mom, who was hanging out with my mom, because my mom's a night rider. She's a night owl, that we were fixing the couch. They didn't know the couch was messed up. So then you've got these two Bolivian dragons rolling down from the second floor, and you know you can hear the mama, like you know, and I'm like, oh, I was like, she told him, Lucas, she told him. She goes, she wouldn't say anything. I said, she told him. I don't know why they're coming down, and then they come, and you know who gets blamed?
You.
Your boy,
you.
Old Fantana,
yeah. Right.
Because I'm in charge of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm like, why did you tell him? And then she starts crying. She goes, and then her mom says, well, she should tell me everything. I said,
oh God, Sophia burned you. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll never be recruited by the CIA. That took literally 30 minutes. 30 minutes to burn me.
But it was okay. The stain
couch
looked
was
okay.
Fine.
Rob.
Trust was broken.
There we go.
It is all over. Right. Next time I see them, they're on their own.
That's phenomenal. But
pro tip, alcohol swabs. You blot, you don't smear, you blot.
Yeah.
Blot, Mike,
no matter how much you want to, don't suck on them.
Yeah, and don't pick it, it'll get infected. We'll be right back, everybody.
Live from Fort Myers, it's the West South Florida Kennel Club Dog Show.
Hello, fans. I'm Twitch, along with Jim Amato, and we're calling the action live.
We're down to the final four dogs, and we still have some surprising contenders.
With the final four, an Irish Setter, a Bolivian Hairless, a huge Spiewak Mastiff, and a Mexican Longhair Chihuahua.
Can you believe they eat these dogs in some countries?
That's right, Jim. By the way, the Spiewak Mastiff is the largest dog we've ever had in competition.
That's dog. With two G's.
It sure is, Jim.
It looks like the handler is having some trouble with the Chihuahua.
Shut up, Frankie!
Oh, that's too bad. That'll knock him out of the competition. The judge is taking one last look, and there it is. The winner is the Mike O'Mara Bonus Best in Show.
Get a subscription today at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Until next year, this is Jim Amato and Twitch saying,
Who's a good boy?
Welcome back, everybody, to the Mike O'Mara Show. When we decide to lose weight, it's usually not just about the number on the scale. Noom Weight is ready to help. Noom Weight's psychology-based approach gives you the knowledge and support to build lasting results. Noom Weight empowers you to build more sustainable habits and behaviors. To date, Noom Weight has helped more than 3.6 million people lose weight. Your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. The program is based on scientific principles like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, to help you understand your relationship with food. It's amazing how flexible the program is, which really works for me. Here's a fact. I recently recommitted to Noom because it works. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. It's going to be great. And actually, I start tomorrow getting back involved with Noom, and I'm really excited about it. Helps you stay focused on what's important to you. Do it with Noom Weight's psychology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial today. Welcome back to the show. Mr. Spiewak, yes. Health update. You had an MRI today. How did the MRI go? This is maybe the last one you have to deal with for a while.
That's
right?
What I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got a call last night at 7:30 or so that went to voicemail. I did not hear my phone, and when I picked it up, it says insurance has denied your claim for your MRI.
Oh,
so it's not going to happen. We have to consider your appointment canceled. I couldn't call back because they called after the MRI place had closed. And the doctor's office had closed. And so I got to thinking that this
just
is
go.
Funny. I know I called the first thing this morning. I said, I can still come if there's been some sort of misstep. They said, no, your insurance only covers one MRI every 6 months. And so I got to thinking about the kind of person that would like be getting MRIs for pleasure. I said, the doctor has prescribed it. I have an order. The doctor needs to see an MRI of my abdomen with or without contrast. And they said, yes, but it has been not approved. So what we need is an order from your doctor saying that it needs to be overridden. And I just shook my head ruefully because
And they let you know the night before.
Yeah, with no way to change it. If they had told me this even yesterday, Mike, they canceled it 12 hours before the appointment.
Unreal.
Can you go and put on a credit card and just get them to pay that credit card?
I could, but I don't want to front $1,000 for it because then it's a whole matter of getting your money back.
Your health and your longevity as a human being? Isn't
Oscar,
it worth that risk?
Oscar, I can do that next week too. I mean, there's no reason that I can't do it.
These things keep on getting pushed back for reasons I feel like you've done this enough.
Right now,
what's the insurance company you're dealing
with? Yeah, name names.
Cigna.
That sucks. Big behemoth asshole insurance.
Sounds like a cigarette.
I was very, very upset last night. I woke up today mad. It was that kind of thing because here's why. It really started to fester with me. I was immediately mad about the inconvenience. And
you're a walking, talking example of what is broken. I mean, this is an absolute personalized story of what is broken with healthcare in the United States of America.
I told Carrie last night, I said, you realize that now I thought that today would be closing the book on the last thing that was sort of an outstanding outlier since March 16th.
I can't even imagine what you're feeling.
Even if this MRI had said, you're going to need this done to your kidney, you're going to need a kidney transplant, worst possible outcome, which doesn't appear to be the case because my blood scores were okay. But even if they had said that, at least I'd know the end game. At least I'd know what I'm up against. Right now, because they're splitting hairs on what is the appropriate way to do or the number of MRIs to get, I don't get to know that answer. I don't get to know any answer yet. And
what did the doctor, who's the first person you talked to this morning?
First person I called this morning was the MRI, the radiology place. I said, has there been a mistake?
Buddy.
I can still be there in time for the appointment. They said, no, we can't do this. And then spinning through my head is, I already called in favors with my mom to get an appointment in 2.5 weeks. When I didn't do that, appointments were about a month and 5 weeks out. So now I've lost this appointment, and I can't make another appointment because it's going to be denied. Now they know it's going to be denied. So then I called the doctor. They said, I'm trying to think of the phrasing. our paperwork is in order. If you want this to still happen, the facility needs to call us and get the doctor to approve it on a peer-to-peer basis. I said, okay. So I called back and waited on hold and waited on hold and waited on hold to one department, to another department, interminable hold each time. I finally get to a guy who says, we're going to look into this for you. This is about 2 o'clock today. And I haven't heard back from them yet, but I spoke to my mother, who is part of the, she works for Inova.
She's in the healthcare system.
She knows
right?
all we the know doctors. That. She right. says, if a doctor that is different than the doctor that called for the first MRI, this is another doctor and a notable doctor because he's a Georgetown Hospital at the liver specialist. If he calls and says this is necessary, it is likely to get waived and pushed through. But it's a big deal to have a doctor of that importance call this facility to make that happen. But that's where I'm at right now. So it looks like unless some miracle of scheduling happens, the soonest I could get this is probably in another month, and I'm still up in the air. And frankly, I'm really upset about it. So
I'm sorry.
It sucks.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that was the update.
I just wanted it.
I had no idea.
I just
saw
it to be done.
Your cryptic post on Facebook today,
oh,
I saw that.
So, I was
and I was
pissed,
hoping it
pissed.
Wasn't this. I
yeah.
was really...
we can help, man. Just let us know.
I appreciate it. But I mean, when this doctor, this liver specialist said, get blood work and get an MRI as soon as possible and get me the information... The soonest I could get pulling every
you know,
strip
this
I had
liver,
was 3 weeks.
I don't like to, you know how I get mad with
yeah,
the Irish
yeah, yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
This liver doctor ought to be more engaged in this. You know, go get an MRI, not knowing you're going through this. They I would assume a specialist of that level like, would, you know, be
an
inside.
An email goes out, something like that. You're like, hey,
I mean, an email, you know, you can go to an ER and say you need an MRI stat.
Yeah,
you know, and play the game. If there's anybody out there, and I'm making this appeal right now, this is just anybody that can help Rob play the game a little bit. Yeah. Better,
I've had you know, this, and you know. I don't want to cry poor me because I've had a lot of good care and I've had a lot of good updates in the
yeah,
past.
Yeah, you've had
four
people
and a half
help
months,
you in the past,
and
too.
I've had people help me. But you got to understand, I just want to reach a point where I can heave a sigh of relief. Because things are okay
can blame
for
you
now.
With this crap.
Things are okay for now. And this whole kidney
next time, do me a favor. Throw the credit card down. We'll figure out how to pay for it.
Absolutely. Oscar, I'm with you with that. You and I can handle
crazy.
That. So that's it. Yeah, I should have said that. I forgot that. We'll do
that's
that.
That's the fix.
You know?
I was so embittered by the lady at the facility who said, of course, if you'd like to pay out of pocket, we can still see you today. And
we're telling you, figure that out now. Get that done.
But anyway,
what is the how much is it for an MRI?
I think it's between $700 and $800.
Do it.
I think it's more like $2,000 to $10,000.
No,
that's what I'm seeing.
No, that's
Tony,
what they
have
that's,
no
what?
Idea.
Without
Tony,
insurance,
you are crazy.
They quoted me that today. That's what they quoted me when I asked. And
right.
I said,
Matt, remember, you barely can make it to Japan. So
we'll
settle down.
We'll get involved.
That's related.
But I'd prefer not
medical?
To get you all involved. So give me a couple
Rob,
of days.
Rob, I've looked at the internet. It's $750,000.
It's going to cost the same as a McLaren automobile. Do you know what that is?
That's I know, and
but anyway,
I don't
so
think
I'm
that,
peeved
look,
today.
I don't
Sorry
know whether
that,
you know. I think we all feel the same way about this. That this is just closure more than anything else.
Yes.
Hopefully,
yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yes.
But if it's not hopeful, think
well,
about the weeks,
answer,
the months, and the hours.
Even an answer provides some sort of closure. Yeah. Right
don't
now,
wait.
I'm no better off than I was a month ago.
Keep
tell
us.
Them, call them. Tell them
posted.
We'll pay. Please.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Out of pocket. You'll pay out of pocket.
Give me 24 hours to try and work this out the right way, and then I'll hit you guys up.
Okay, we got to take a break. We will come
and
back
Mike,
with yes.
He had a hat. I'm kidding.
He had a hat. Oh, that's right. He had a hat. Yes, swept away. Anyway, oh man, that makes me mad.
Makes me mad.
I understand that. I'll collect some cane toads from Florida and send them up to those people.
Excellent.
At
I'll
the
put them
insurance
in,
company.
Put them in my pocket.
Yeah, with a little note that says, "Please lick these." We'll be right back, everybody.
Men, are you tired of radio? All those yakety yaks filling your heads with nonsense day in, day out? After a long day at work, don't you just want your pipe and slippers and some measurable entertainment? Well, here at Moore Industries, we strive every day to make podcasts that bring the funny. Take the Mike O'Mara Show and the Bonus Hour, for instance. This joyful bantering of ball-busting humor lightens the load of your drudging life. Over here, we see our newest machine, the DGH-4000. It can crank out 50 jokes an hour. Let's see what it says. Hobble-doo-gee. Ah, well, back to the drawing board. TMOS and More Industries. Making the funny just for you.
Always turn your microphone on. Okay?
Always.
Hey, I'm going to send you some dad grass, Rob. It's summer. It's with all this news, you got to lighten up. Dad grass
Mike,
is great.
Mike, I've been thinking about it all day. I'll be honest with you.
Enjoy your dad grass. Great anytime. It can help you chill out before a big meeting or an MRI or be the replacement for that evening glass of wine, which in your case applies as well. Dad grass. Yes. It is legal, organized hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Dadgrass CBD products are made with 100% organic hemp that's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. Try their token smokable pre-rolled joints, or if you prefer, hemp flower, or their selection of CBD tincture drops. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS to check out their products. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. And before we play the Soundtown Sounder, I have to tell you, Rob,
yes.
You know, the good news here, you've done everything on your end to get yourself in better shape.
You haven't missed a beat.
You look that way. I think ultimately when there is closure, it's going to be
there was
good
one
closure.
Misstep because the MRI, they said, do you have any metal in your body? I said, no. He said, do you have a pacemaker of any sort? I said, no. They said, have you recently had more than 8 ounces of sugarless taffy?
Hmm?
And maybe so.
Thank you. That's good.
We call this Explosive Diarrhea.
Soundtown.
My brain's out. Mike, I used to drink. And when I did drink, I liked Tito's Vodka very much. I still like their company. I think it's
wildly popular.
I met the national brand manager of Tito's 2 weeks ago.
Was it Tito himself?
No. She was very sweet. Very nice.
It's a great company, and they make a great product. And also, as much as I like Tito's, I hate the trend of seltzer. The hard seltzers that are going out around.
When you could drink, how much seltzer did you try?
I tried several different brands. I never liked any of them.
Okay.
Because they never had any flavor.
There is, and sorry for the alcohol discussion, but there is, life goes on. There is a thing called the long drink.
I'm sure.
Are you familiar with the long drink? The
what
long
is
drink
that?
From,
yeah,
I think it's Finnish.
Yes,
it's from Finland.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We've talked about it.
Grapefruit and gin?
Yeah.
Yummy number. That's kind of a seltzery thing.
Yeah.
I reached into the fridge here and there was Athletic Brew, and I was drinking. I was like, this is kind of flat. It's non-alcoholic. 45 calories. A lot of fun.
Sounds great. When I think of gin and grapefruit juice, I think as an alcoholic diabetic, those are two things I can't have. But
enjoy.
But it's fun to watch. But anyway, Tito's has put out an ad campaign. This, with the influx of these hard seltzers,
yes.
They're selling an empty can for $20. And it goes like this.
There comes a time when every alcohol brand must ask, should we make a seltzer? And our answer is no. Introducing Tito's in a can. It's literally an empty can that we're selling. That's right. You add the Tito's and the soda and the lime and whatever. We don't make seltzers. You do.
I love it. I
love it. That's fantastic. Awesome. That's good stuff.
When you have Bud Light cranberry seltzer, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Because and they're all the same. They're just, you feel like you're drinking a chemical. I really always feel that way with them. I really do.
Now, how would you feel if you were on a flight on Southwest? Bad already, right? But they announced from the flight deck that the flight pilot and the assistant pilot are mother and daughter.
Today is a really special day for me. I would like to introduce to you your first officer and my daughter, Keely Pettit. Keely, come on out here. Very special day. We are the first mother-daughter duo ever on the flight deck of Southwest Airlines.
They got the mother-daughter idea from the Bang Brothers website.
Rob. Last time I saw that, I think it was a place called Mom's Venus.
But don't you think they're going to leave the mic on during one of their plays? Like, Mom, I can do it myself.
Wow. I don't know. After I got over the novelty and the sweetness and the wonderfulness of that, I would probably get just a little the hair on my neck standing up with the nepotism vibe.
You're
know?
Talking about like the guy she's dating. I told you he was a jerk. Right.
Yeah.
You didn't put the gear up. Yes, I did, Mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd be a little worried about that.
Meanwhile, in the world of air travel, the people at Heathrow are upset. They were talking about this on TikTok. There's a wheelchair shortage because there's a TikTok hack of people saying, get a wheelchair in the airport and get through the airport faster.
We have more demand than we had before the pandemic. Mm. Some of this is because people are using the wheelchair support to try to get fast track through the airport. That is absolutely the wrong thing to be doing. And if you go on TikTok, you'll see that that is one of the travel hacks that people are recommending.
Mike, it's absolutely the wrong thing to do.
It is. Did we ever do it when we were drunk in airports at all?
Yeah, but never to gate service, just to...
No, we didn't do gate service. We just did it to have fun.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I believe it might have been at the Portland International Jetport.
I'd rather not have the details released on that story. That's okay.
I remember I was in the chair.
Yeah, that would be cancel culture.
It definitely would be. Clearly. But you know what? Sunnier days. Let's look forward to this gentleman. His name is Sean Redner. He lives in Wisconsin, which is a fine place. And he has a collection that he's hoping to get Guinness certified. He has 13,000 cat figurines.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Mm. What a great human being.
How about you, Sean?
I got to leave something in my life. Why not be in the Guinness Book of World Records? It's just the cat figurine museum on the surface. But when you get down to it, it's all part of somebody's life. It's not just cat figurines. It's them,
it is.
Essentially. My goal is to hopefully move all of this into a coffee shop where we can have adoptable cats so visitors can come have a couple of cats.
Oh, Sean.
Oh, what a shame.
Like adoptable cats.
Porcelain flying down. Look at that. That's
cats.
Terrible.
Let's close with this. This is a viral video. A former Disney employee said that one of the biggest dangers working in a Disney property, Mike, it's not vomiting disc jockeys. No. It is ninja squirrels. And I didn't think the story was all that interesting until I heard this guy's voice. We'll close with this former Disney employee.
If you've ever worked at attractions at Disney, then you've parked strollers. You've also seen the Florida squirrels that steal everything out of strollers. You think your soda's safe in the stroller? Squirrels are not nice. They don't care. They will take your soda and leave you nothing. Yeah, just eat your food and drink your stuff while you got the time, because leaving it anywhere, it's gonna go. The popcorn especially, they smell it from a mile away. Pretty much any animal you see that's not affiliated with Disney, don't touch it.
Yeah, you know what? If you're buying popcorn at a theme park, you're stupid. Worst snack ever. Something hot and salty? Sure,
sorry,
bring
popcorn
it.
Eaters. He's had a long day. You have to deal with that.
I have.
Really do.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Okay, you're fine. You're okay.
Yeah.
Any final words for the people you dealt with today? Or pleasant, anything, you know?
I'd like to say hello to the medical community. Thanks for getting it right again.
There you go. We'll keep us posted. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode. Tomorrow, we're going to do a deep dive on a little research project that Rob Spiewak's been working on about Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
So if you're someone who really enjoys... Forget it. I don't know how to promote it. We're
going
to talk about Harvey Weinstein tomorrow.
We'll each pick a side. I want to be pro Harvey.
Yes, good. We'll let you do that tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Aloha.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Michael Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You know what you are?
A hoot.
With a capital H, that's what you are.
Who cares? Nobody gives a crap.
It's all a big nothing. What makes you think you're so special?
So what do I mean? Do drop my pants or fire a rocket?
I see dead.
Fish in the hole!